Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we talk about emerging trends. Tempered glass RGB, are they here to stay or on their way out? I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McKay.
Dennis, I want to talk a little bit about a trend that's getting out of control in the enthusiast PC market. Maybe two trends now that I think about it.
Well, there's a lot of trends. Let's narrow it down. What two are you talking about?
What I want to talk about, we've kind of talked about it before, and that is the emergence of RGB as a primary design factor in everything.
Everything.
And we're not talking just fans and cases where kind of RGB makes sense. I'm telling you, it's in everything. I'm kind of surprised that I don't have RGB mouse pads, and I know they exist.
Yeah, they probably exist. We probably can get an RGB pen. We could have an RGB.
Oh my gosh. So we had kind of a little bit of a CES after discussion already, and it's been a couple of podcasts back. Mm-hmm. But it's not enough, I think, to talk about RGB without talking about this other trend also. And it hurts me to say it, Dennis, because I love windows, but glass and plexiglass and window cases are getting out of control.
Well, they've been out of control. I mean, we have just gotten to the point where we have to extend it beyond what is reasonable to become something new, so to say.
So what I'm seeing out on the market, and I want to blame Thermaltake, and I'm not sure that they're really the source of this.
Oh, no, they're not.
But
they're not.
They had a case, and this might have been a part of the level 10, where you could get essentially what was a wall-mountable case. And
So you're talking about like the P5 that came out.
Yeah, exactly. So this was kind of the start of it. You got this great case, and you could mount it on your wall, and it had one solid side that you'd take your attachments to, mm-hmm. and then the other sides were glass. And it made for a great display. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking how cool that was. And it reminded me of those old school all plexiglass cases that you could get that we all kind of used to use for display units back in the day. Do you remember those?
I do. Danger Den made some of the best ones.
Yeah. But then everybody decided that they had to have RGB. And so what's happened here is a trend where everybody has to have a crystal or glass or open case.
Yeah. Before you go too far,
yeah.
What we should do is we had plexiglass cases back in, like, I want to say Pentium 4 era.
Right.
And that was, I want to say, Danger Den made some that were awesome, but they were more cube kind of bench style cases.
Sure.
And then we had like the actual plexi ones, and they, you know, when you bought them, they came with special gloves so you could put it together.
And I remember there were issues with grounding your motherboards and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, everybody was talking about, oh, you're just creating this big static wall, and how are you going to ground your case? And that was a legitimate problem. And people would go and wrap wire around like things and then run them back to their power supply. But that was more or less to satisfy a need of showing off all of your hardware.
Right.
And then it kind of went away.
And I'm not immune, because my favorite case probably of all time was the King Win 3 window case that had mm-hmm. the top window, the left and right windows. And, you know, back in those days, you had 80 millimeter fans. And I built maybe my favorite case that had UV reactive lighting just everywhere. And I think we've talked about the old Soltec Dragon case, which had the right PCB, white PCB. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you put that under a black light, and it was amazing. And I was so proud of this, Dennis, but this is so many years ago, and I just thought maybe we were better than that now.
Well, much like in fashion, you know, we're talking about like clothes mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, we had, what, bell bottoms in the 60s and 70s. They kind of went away. And then you had skinny pants. And now 90s, 2000s, we're bringing back bell bottoms, but not really the flippy ones, but more mm-hmm. like the boot cut. But they're so frilly at the bottom. So the thing is, things make a cycle. And this is something that's well known. It's like trends cycle. People forget about them. They bring them back because they were kind of catching them. People like them. Some people forget about trends that were crappy. You know, I'm thinking back early days. You know, this is during the plexiglass cases. We also had the DFI LAN party with the UV reactive stuff. We had LED fans. And you could go and buy multicolor LEDs that might have like a switch that you could go between red, green, and blue. Yeah. You could do white ones. You could buy a special color, but you had four LEDs. And these are traditional LEDs that are on the corners.
Well, Dennis, I'm not going to lie. I was so bad that I had cold cathode 80 millimeter fans for a while.
And those were expensive and awesome at the same
time.
That's
kind of like admitting that I wore parachute pants. I mean, because that's so old school.
Super, super old school. But the amazing thing about this, and I want to say it's amazing just because, you know, thinking back, right? We're being nostalgic right now. We had LED fans, clear cases. They disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
For like 4 years, they disappeared. Nobody made an LED fan. Nobody had a clear bladed fan. Nobody had a case with a crazy window that took over more than half of the panel. We had like ornate stuff. Everybody was getting back into functional style cases and functional style cooling instead of, you know, trying to make things blingy. But I want to say that was kind of a response from, you know, we had limitations. We had 80 millimeter fans, and that was what we used all the time. So,
well, and back in those days, you had to spend a lot of money on fan controllers because the cases and the motherboards didn't support more than maybe 2-3 fans top. Even the high end boards, and I'm talking Core Through era, you know, like the P5e that I, you know, was so in love with. If you had 3 case fan controllers on your motherboard, it was a pretty premium motherboard.
It was a really big deal. But we also had to deal with the fact that we exhausted what was available, so people were just adding on to it. So we didn't have 92 millimeter fans were just kind of becoming an emergence. Nobody heard of 120 millimeter fan. Yeah. And when those different sizes came about and what cases got wider, motherboards got more, I should say they added controls, they added fan controllers because, you know, let's say you hook 4 fans into a motherboard and then all of a sudden it would just burn out the entire fan circuit. That became a problem, right? So now we have, you know, 180 millimeter fans, 200 millimeter fans in cases.
Yeah. And I mean, you're being conservative. And I have an Intermax case that has a 220 or maybe a 300 millimeter case fan on the side.
And that just takes the place of the window, right? Because it's a clear bladed fan. You could do 2 things at once. How do you go beyond that, right?
Right.
So InWin, I want to say InWin is the one that started this. They were looking at their case designs. They wanted to do some retail cases, and they released a basic box, and then they did a tempered glass side panel.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it was innovative, and I remember looking at that and going, "Wow, this is so amazing!" Because it was tempered glass just made sense.
They used the proper glass too. They used really thick glass that was kind of rounded over. It's not the kind that you're going to just bump into and shatter. It's not the kind that's going to be in your bathroom, you know, mirrors and window, shower stalls and stuff like that. It was actually thick, heavy glass, and people liked it, and people were buying those cases. And then, of course, other manufacturers say, hey, people are buying this stuff now. People like this stuff. It's become the new modding trend. Now we got to get on the bandwagon, but how do we make it affordable? So they start using really thin glass and then putting bezels around the outside, and it just becomes a rattly mess. And now we're back in, 2004, where we had these pre-modded cases with made out of like pot metal that would rattle like crazy unless you go and put sound dampening in there. And that's what made sound dampening popular in doing cases and stuff.
Well, it's interesting to say that because I feel like at that time, the trend was if you really wanted a high-end case, you wanted to get an aluminum case with a window. And that was when everybody was kind of looking at these premium aluminum cases. You know, Lian Li was at the time kind of the premium brand. And we've moved away from that and back, I think, from functional cases. We're kind of moving back into Gaudi. And I mean, this is a painful point for me because I've always been kind of a, you know, I want my case to be pretty and impressive. And if you've been following the case builds that we've done with the Lamborghini orange cases and the full windows and the water cooling, you know, I feel like I'm the pot calling the kettle black a little bit. But I look at these new display cases where you've got just one solid side, and I just go, you know, at what point did we kind of cross the line where things are getting silly?
Yeah, and CES 2017, for those people that aren't listening to this podcast right after we release it, there were two trends that I noticed, and one of them was everything was RGB.
Right.
And the other thing was computer cases had to have tempered glass of some sort anywhere on the case.
Well, absolutely. And not just a window anymore. I mean, now we're seeing cases, and Corsair makes a great one that has tempered glass on the front and the sides, and thermal take is really kind of great.
Yeah. Well, so let's bring up this Corsair one. So yeah. We have the Corsair Crystal Series. The one I have right now is the 570X RGB ATX mid-tower case. And you look at a picture of it, it looks like a standard square chassis. If you look past the fact that they attached a curtain wall style tempered glass to the outside and the top, inside you have like some segmented plastic pieces that kind of hold fans in place. Mm-hmm. Inside the chassis, you have a slotted area for a fan so you can slide it up and down.
Yeah.
Standard ATX style expansion slots in the back. It's a regular chassis, but they replaced all of the plastic pieces with tempered glass that is sitting on four posts that are screwed into place.
Well, Dennis, I'm not going to lie. I think this is a great-looking case, and I think this is the natural trend from eliminating external drives that we've kind of been prophesizing for, I don't know, 3-4 years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, I feel like I'm kind of in a get-off-my-lawn state, and maybe this whole conversation really follows that trend, because I am one of those folks that hold out. I need to have a burner in my system, and it's... I mean, it's hard to justify, Dennis, because I use it for archival information. I mean, I'm burning family pictures onto Blu-rays, for heaven's sakes, and throwing them in a safe, which is the responsible thing to do. But some of that, again, is get off my lawn. I don't trust the cloud, right? Which is kind of what the modern kids are doing. But this case has no external drives of any kind. In fact, it has no external interaction at all. And I know that it has a built-in fan controller. I do. But I just can't even tell you where it is by looking at it.
I can't even see the external USB ports.
I got to tell you, I love it. But to me, Corsair is doing it right. And it maybe is a little bit gaudy, but to me, this is a classy unit. As opposed to, and I'm trying to come up with a good example, maybe Thermaltake.
We would be bashing Thermaltake a little bit because they have historically been known for copying good designs.
Right. So Thermaltake is a great company, and I want to get that out of the way too, because Thermaltake brings these ideas to the masses. And Thermaltake is not afraid to go out there and get a little crazy. I mean, we all remember when Thermaltake was famous for having all that plastic, right? Well,
they would have a base chassis, and then they would change the outer design by just slapping on external plastic pieces. That makes good economic sense.
And the reality is Thermaltake also tends to take these cases that are very expensive from Kingwin or Corsair or whatever, and they release their version at a much more affordable price. So that being said, Dennis, we're looking at a case that I really wanted to bring some attention to. Mm-hmm. And it is the Thermaltake View case line, and this is the View 27. Reason I want to bring this to attention is because they've done something that I think is groundbreaking. Love it or hate it, they have finally taken the front and the top and the side, and they've made it so the window goes straight up and curves across the top in one unbroken case.
And yeah, that's huge, because if you look at traditional cases, so you have a base chassis, which is a square.
Mm-hmm.
The top and the front and the back and the bottom all have to be cohesive units for that square to be solid.
I'm reminded of the car design around these cube cars that are out there. And there are a couple of different ones.
Yeah, but like the smart cars or something?
Yeah, because they've eliminated that edge. And by doing so, they have given a unique view into the interior this seems like it's just begging, and you can see it in the advertising. It's begging for water cooling.
Yeah, well, let's see. I'm thinking of the car again. You're thinking of like the Scion or something like that?
Or the Kias even.
Yeah. So in any event, the View 27 basically takes the side panel and combines it with the top panel and does what they call a gold wing design, mm-hmm. which is a copy, I use that term loosely, of what DeLorean did with their cars, where the doors would slide open. They hinged on the very top. This one, the design hinges at the very edge of the top next to the reverse side of the case, if you will. So it'd slide up, and that allows them to have this curved acrylic edge to show off the top and the front of the case at the same time.
So I want to draw attention to more than just the window, because I think the window design in this case is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about another case that I feel like does something unique, right? But they're following a trend that you've talked about before in the Silverstone cases, where they've put the power supply in a separate component section that's enclosed and separated from the core of the computer at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, also a great design change that we're starting to see as a trend in a lot of cases.
Oh yeah.
And like I say, you've spoken to this before, but to me, this is another example of what happens when we get a little crazy with the design in the window, but we aren't completely abandoning functionality. And I like the concept of separating the power supply, which is one of the last really sources of heat in the case that has to vent. Mm-hmm. And putting it in a separate area. And I know that Kingwind did this way back in the day also, and so did Silverstone and some of the others, but it wasn't really common, and it doesn't feel like it was really adapted, but this year it's really exploded.
Well, over the past several years, it's been exploding, but we haven't seen a trend where every case has that feature. And, you know, going back and being nostalgic again, the power supply used to be the primary exhaust for our cases.
Yes.
And that was very important to have that fan, the exhaust fan and the power supply pulling air from the main chassis portion of it. Nowadays, we have, you know, we're looking at the View 27 here. We got 320 millimeter fans in the front. We have 120 millimeter in the back. We have plenty of venting through this chassis to be both positive air pressure and also, you know, moving stuff through. You add on the fact that it supports liquid cooling, and you can place that radiator anywhere you want. You don't have to use your power supply as a primary venting system anymore, which, again, that allows you to have, you know, zero noise fans. You can separate it from the actual base chassis and have it as a separate little unit. I would say the next step would be taking the laptop approach, where the power supply isn't even in the chassis anymore, because they've gotten so efficient, they don't generate that much heat.
Well, and I think the same can be said for the cooling. We've talked a little bit about the cooling. If you look at the View 27 marketing materials, you can see that that's clear that we're going for some really attractive build. And I do love what they're doing. And I like the fact that they're bringing acrylic tubing, rather, to the masses, which we've talked quite a bit about with the mm-hmm. last project build.
Yeah.
And so to me, these are two great examples of taking the trend the right direction. And I want to mention that Zalman, I think, took water cooling outside of the case, and I'm kind of surprised that I'm not seeing a resurgence of that, where we just take the radiator and make it a separate unit.
Oh, yeah. So Zalman, they did, and I forget the name, the number of the case, but it was the chassis had a bunch of heat pipes that you could slide up and down inside the chassis and allow the heat from your system to radiate directly to the chassis itself. So right. It had a zero noise footprint. It was very innovative at the time, and Zalman had always been known for building large and very efficient air coolers. It just made sense that they could actually make the case as an air cooler. But it was also released during the time of transition, where we had really efficient cases where we had 120, 140 millimeter fans in there that would actually allow you to cool your case and not have it generate a lot of noise. And, you know, if you look to build inside one of these Zalman cases in an OEM sort of situation, there was a lot of extra labor involved. So I think that was where the case wasn't so successful.
You know, I think I agree. and we've talked about a couple of cases that I think are maybe positive trends. And so I want to turn the tide a little bit and talk about cases that maybe are pushing the trend a little bit too far. And there are a couple I want to talk about here. And Dennis, you're talking about one that I have a love-hate relationship with just from the advertising, and that's the Corsair One case.
The Corsair One. And admittedly, I just saw this right before we started recording, and I, of course, have my own opinion. So you go ahead. What is your love-hate relationship with this case?
So I'll tell you my story with the Corsair One is I feel like the Corsair One is extending the RGB trend maybe further than it wants. And to be clear, I want to start out first by telling you that I can't help but say that I like the case, but that's where the love-hate relationship comes from, because this case, it really is an attractive case that uses RGB, and it almost reminds me of the Razer Tron stuff. Do you remember the Razer Tron keyboard and mouse? They had that RGB outlining that the one reminds me of.
Oh, right. So it was like the EL lighting that they used in the new Tron.
Yeah, in fact, I still have one of those Tron mice, and I got to be honest with you, if I had a good opportunity to pick up a keyboard, I probably would just to have it.
Yeah, you're always into the gimmicks, though.
Well, you know, that again is where the love-hate relation comes with, because that one had the keyboard and mice, and they made the Tron noises and the Tron lights, and there's no doubt that it's gimmicky, and I honestly wouldn't run it as a daily driver, but it would be just fun to have one in the stable, and I think the one kind of fits that whole front, because it's got RGB framing on the front. Now, it doesn't have a window, but the
thing with the One is that it is a system that is supposed to encompass everything that Corsair does.
Oh, yeah.
So we have
flagship for sure.
Yeah. So we have the Corsair chassis design, which in the past I would claim that they copied designs from other people and stuff, but they always say, hey, they're original. We did them ourselves, blah, 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 whatever. That is here nor there. But we have the One chassis, which is a kind of a wide tower, slim, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And inside you have Corsair all-in-one water cooling, which is something that they've been well known for on Reddit channels. Mm-hmm. They also have their power supplies, which they're flagshipping the One with their SFX line, which is something that Silverstone has been well known for the past, you know, forever. We also have, the RGB lighting and probably some of their link technology where you could control the RGB lighting on their all-in-ones, the RGB lighting on the memory, RGB lighting on the power supply, and also on the chassis. So it's all cohesive and controlled by a single software platform.
Right, which is really kind of cool, but it becomes a dead end. And they're talking about the future proofing here, and you're talking about it because we got, you know, DRAM, we got extra cooling and all this kind of stuff. But I just think it's a little bit arrogant to call anything in the PC world future proof.
Well, no, nothing has a future unless you never get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And as an enthusiast, the future proofing is not in buying a complete cohesive system that locks you into like a micro ATX motherboard, like what the One has. Future proofing is putting a system together in such a way that in a year you can upgrade a component.
Right.
You can actually, if you needed to, swap a motherboard out. You could swap out a cooler. You could swap out a video card, add another video card. That is future proofing, to where you don't have to replace everything.
And I think you've made a really key point. I mean, because we talk a lot about the build versus buy process. Mm-hmm. And this is a great topic for another podcast. But the reality is when you are building a PC, one of the primary things that you need to consider is what's the next step? I mean, am I replacing this video card? Can I upgrade it? If I'm replacing the motherboard, can I upgrade it? Because there's no real reason to build a custom PC if your sole goal is to build it and be done. I mean, that's just kind of a no-brainer, and I don't know that folks express that enough.
Yeah.
You can always purchase a machine that's pre-built if your goal is to run it until it becomes an antique and then replace it.
Yeah, I mean, we could suggest CyberPower PC for that.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
One of the companies that send systems to us for review on a regular basis.
And they're great, but they really are designed to match that, you know, I call it the 5-year window, Dennis, where, mm-hmm. you know, if you can get your PC to be competitive and compatible for 5 years, which is kind of an accounting thing, right? And amortizes in 5 years, mm-hmm. then you've done really well. And so you need to budget that way. And if you're building a custom build, like, you know, honestly, and we've talked about this, I'm really famous for the hermit crab analogy, right? You want a shell that's going to grow with you, where the inside is going to be replaced and the shell can grow with you, or the insides can grow with you, or both. But mm-hmm. you want to consider expandability. And the one, I think, is maybe counter to that, because it is the pinnacle. And I'm not going to tell you it's a bad case, because it's a phenomenal case. But it's so counter to everything that I preach about building a case that can grow and expand with you, is locking you in an ecosystem that, albeit is great, but it's static, Dennis. It's not going to grow with you.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily that... You know, well, I should step back. We, Darren and I here, look at this case and we see what its future is. And it's basically a locked ecosystem. But the marketing is saying dangerously quiet, future proof. Those are all wrong terms. Those are like buzzwords that people are going to cue in on, thinking, hey, well, this is what I want. But, you know, once you get it, it's like, yeah, I can add more memory. Ooh, big deal.
Well, you know, and I'm not going to lie. It's a great looking case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
quiet.
I would run one.
It's got a lot of stuff going on it. I'd be happy to build in it, but I would never expect those things to be true.
No.
And Dennis, I want to go one step further. We love Thermaltake here at the lab. We do, because they make great products, and they are famous for bringing things over. But I want to talk about the trend of these single-sided cases.
Oh, okay, so we're going to look at some of the P series stuff.
So Thermaltake, I think, has taken this to extreme, and I want to talk about, what do they call them, super cases? Is that what they are? I think it is called the super case. So Thermaltake has pioneered what we used to call bench machines, and the reason we used to do that is because you had essentially a motherboard tray, and every hardware reviewer is familiar with these things, and you had then just one flat platform. And if mm-hmm. you're a reviewer or an overclocker or whatever, you just kind of discarded the rest and you had the motherboard tray. And go to their homepage. We're on the Thermaltake site here, because
we're clicking around like
they have. And Thermaltake, God bless them, they make so many products and they've brought so many great ideas to the masses. But what they're doing right now is they're pushing a series of cases that have fold-out panels.
Oh, here we go.
I never thought I'd see the point. And the case is the Core P7 TG Full Tower.
Yeah, and so the TG stands for tempered glass. This is a case they had on display at CES. And as Darren mentioned, it has fold-out panels. These panels are designed to hold all of the water cooling gear. And this is something that you can buy from TT Premium.
Right.
So you have a spot for a res pump combo plus a radiator of any size. And then that links to basically a P5 chassis that holds your PC components, your hard drive, your power supply. And it all links together. It just basically expands on the P5 concept, which was a wall-mounted pedestal-style case to show off all of your components. And that in itself has started a trend where instead of having your video card perpendicular to the motherboard, you're running a riser card so that now it's running parallel to your video,
right?
Your motherboard.
So when done right, this P7 is beautiful, because you got a lot of beautiful acrylic tubing, you got dual water cooling, you got multiple radiators, everything is visible. And it really forces us as a builder to come up with a very clean cable management system, the whole nine yards. But I just kind of feel like this is the apex. And to give Thermaltake credit, I just can't see a case going any further in this direction. And I've been surprised before. Mm-hmm. But this, to me, it screams excess. And it screams, I don't know, overkill maybe.
Well, okay, overkill and excess are very good terms for this because Thermaltake also has some of their super tower cases that are huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like taking a server rack and then adding a PC to it.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is, where do you put this? Okay, so the P5 was designed as like a wall-mounted case, which was an evolution of the level 10.
And I get that because we liked the level 10. It had kind of a polarizing look to it, and we did some mods on it.
Yeah, well, the level 10 GT, not the actual level 10, the BMW-designed one.
Oh, true, true.
So, but we have like a P7 TG, for instance. When it was displayed at CES, it was basically a tower. It sat all by itself. The chassis itself is like a 42-inch television. Where do you put that in your office? And then where do you put your monitors? Mm-hmm. It becomes more of eye candy than functional computer usage.
Well, and I think my problem with it is maybe a little bit different because I recognize that it's cool. And when it's done right, it looks really great. But I think if this is the route you want to go, then maybe you should be building your own chassis.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, because what we're talking about is a pure eye candy display machine. And it really, to me, it feels like a trade show. Like it should be, you know, like those fold-out white papers that you made your science projects out of when you were a kid. You know, it's the point where form is so overcome function that I just want to say, why did you buy a factory system to do this?
You know, there's a lot of truth to that. And to Thermaltake's credit, I mean, we can scroll down on this page here. It talks about DMD, which is dismantlable modular design.
Right.
I look at this as a kit of parts.
Okay.
To the point where you could buy this case and you could take this kit of parts and you could make your own chassis. It may not look like a P7 with the little wings and everything, but you could certainly make a dual tower where you have components on one side and cooling on the other side where it's all together. And at that point, it might become a super tower, but it wouldn't take up as much space.
Right.
Or you could use the bracket for all of the mounting of hard drives and water cooling gear and mesh that with another chassis, say like a Fantex or something that you happen to like, use this component, meld it in there. And now you don't have to create another panel and drill a bunch of holes to go and mount these parts. Unfortunately, you would have to buy a P7 and all of the dismantlable modular design pieces to make that happen. But in a way it's making the one difficult part of case modding easily accessible.
Right. And I get that. But to me, this train of thought is contrary. And we've talked about the master case as another great concept for modular case building. And I love the master case because you buy just the stuff that you need. And I feel like the Thermaltake is kind of the polar opposite. Like, we're going to sell you the kitchen sink and let you figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know. We've talked a lot about this, and I don't know that we can avoid the fact that RGB lighting, which I love, has kind of become
a thing.
A thing, and I mean, even power supplies, and I mean, it's getting a little silly, but there's no denying that when it's done right, it looks great. And the same is true of tempered glass, but, you know, at what point are we eliminating everybody's desire and creative mentality and forcing them on these gaudy giant cases? And
well, you know, and I look at it as the designers of these chassis are trying to figure out what to do with all the extra space that was normally reserved for 3.5-inch hard drives, external 5.25 drives, which now people are not using anymore. And in a way, it's like, okay, you buy a motherboard. How do you get your motherboard drivers online? How do you get online? You install the network driver. Where's the network driver? On a DVD in the box with the motherboard. You have to have an optical drive to install these systems that you're building, unless you go and make some elaborate slipstreaming of, you know, adding this driver to the OS as you're installing it. It becomes more of a challenge than convenience. But still, these chassis are removing this, and the designers are trying to figure out, oh, hey, now I can add horror fans to the front of this case, and let's put a piece of tempered glass in front of it, because why the F not? That becomes more of a, let's figure out what to do with this because we don't know what to do with it. And that's where, as case modders, we look at it as, well, that's the gaudy way to do it. Let's find some other way to do it. But now we have to manufacture pieces because we can't modify what people have already given us. So there's a juxtaposition of like making a good case versus modding a case versus just buying something off the shelf that looks good and is still functional. So I think that, much like what we talked about before, where we had RGB lights and then they disappeared when things started to morph, we're in that phase where things are morphing to what will become the good, elegant version of a chassis.
Well, and Dennis, you make a valid point. And I feel like, again, to get off my lawn, right? Am I resisting embracing the future? Because there was a time when I wanted three-window cases and I wanted UV black lights and I wanted all that stuff. And then it just kind of felt gaudy. And it feels like that was so long ago that now that the mainstream's catching up with me, you know, am I just resisting embracing the future? And a year, 2 years from now, am I going to be saying, yeah, where are the RGB lights? Where are the windows? I mean, time will tell. But honestly, I have to admit that despite the fact that I don't feel like some of these are a good use of my money or even really the direction that I would take, that we are embracing a future where there is more modding possibility, where there are more options in cases. And for the first time, I really feel like there are cases out there that are individually unique. And I have to admit that that at least is a good thing. So take a look at these cases, and whether you agree or disagree, I think that you'll see that there's a lot of innovation out there. And what sticks? Well, that remains to see.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2017. Thanks for listening.